Crazy Mitch intro, take one.
Gene was right to leave Kiss in the 80s for a movie career. Find out why. Next three sides of the coin.
Bullshit.
Here he is going off being wrong again.
It's so easy to just say you're wrong, Mitch. Next topic.
Yeah. We need that mute
button. Spend an hour listening to my premise.
We're sorry. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Three Sides of the Coin. In a 1 week's period, we are all sitting here again, wearing the same clothes. Did we plan this?
Yes.
Well, in Mitch's case, you always know it's going to be some piece of kids' clothing. Mm-hmm. Or probably boxer shorts.
Van Halen! Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, Kiss pajamas.
Oh, God! He really does have them on.
Lordy,
hey,
Lordy.
It's nighttime now. We're taping late.
It doesn't matter. Do not wear your Kiss pajamas where we might see them.
Now, why would you be looking down there?
You weren't. You brought them up to us. You brought them up eye level.
And I can go with my Gene teddy bear later.
Oh, please. So we're back for another episode.
Sorry. Were you recording?
Yes, I'm recording. Oh, you should always assume you're being recorded because we want to catch the good shit. The only way we can do that is by you not knowing.
Right.
So for those of you who don't have a clue, we are your three co-hosts. I'm Michael Branvold. That's Mitch LaFon. And that's Tommy Summers.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
So this week, we're going to turn the microphone over to...
Mitch LaFon!
Mitch LaFon.
Shock me. That's at the end, though. No.
Boy, that might make an interesting song intro for somebody to do for Mitch's locker. Kiss Shockers from Mitch's locker. We're turning the microphone over to Mitch LaFon.
Shock!
Kiss Shockers from Mitch's locker.
Shockers from Mitch's locker. Yeah. No, you know... I brought up this topic, and I just wanted to know what you thought of it.
We're just humoring you. That's what we think of it.
Yeah, you know, but in the 80s, as we know, and we've talked about it before, Gene sort of left the band and did the whole Hollywood thing. And in the classic rock interview, he said that he sold his soul to Hollywood and so on and so forth. But I want to sort of take a different angle on it. You know, when you're with a company that has diminishing returns and you can see the end is near, bankruptcy is coming or whatever, as it was the case with Kiss, Unmasked didn't sell massive numbers. The Elder was a disaster. Creatures of the Night, great album musically, but the tour was a financial disaster. The band was starting to think, what do we do next? We take the makeup off next. Do we get... And then Gene started looking around Hollywood. Maybe Gene was the smart one in all of this. Maybe that's what he needed to do. If you're working at Microsoft and you see that the plant's about to shut down because you're not selling any more Windows, are you stupid to stay in the sinking ship, or are you the smart guy who goes out and looks next door and say, hey, what are they doing over there at Apple? And so maybe Gene did the right thing. He could see that Kiss was coming to an end, the 10th anniversary tour, and well, actually the 9th anniversary tour. Things weren't going so well. Maybe he did the right move. Maybe we shouldn't be so negative about him. Maybe Paul did the wrong move. No, but maybe Paul did the wrong thing and got lucky. Paul stayed with the sinking ship. And yeah, he righted it and he made it what it is today. But maybe as a business decision, maybe it wasn't the right one.
I disagree with that completely because... That's assuming Gene is just an employee of a company.
Yeah, but
Gene's a CEO. If you're a CEO of Microsoft and things get rough, you don't jump ship.
Well, in fact, you do. You look at, for example, Mel Karmazin, who was running Infinity Broadcasting. He quit to go over to Sirius, and then when Sirius was doing less well, he quit and went over somewhere else. CEOs do that often. They will do these parallel...
I will also say that when Gene apparently was doing his jumping ship, I don't think KISS was in trouble.
You don't think so?
By the time he hit, he really started doing, what was the first movie?
Runaway?
Runaway. That was around Animalize.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I remember he had to have that stupid wig because he cut his hair. Animalize revitalized these guys. They Heaven's on Fire was a hit single. The album went platinum. The tour was doing great. I mean, people can get into and arguing about what was the average night attendance, but coming out of Lick It Up into Animalize, I think the band was getting a kick in the butt and getting revitalized. Now, not talking music quality. We can ignore all of that.
Right.
Just in general acceptance, KISS came out of nowhere of basically Creatures of the Night, where nobody really seemed to care about them, and Makeup came off, and Animalize came out, and they were shooting back up to the top again. So,
yeah, but they weren't the hottest ship in the land anymore.
Well, yeah, but do you? I think it's just stupid to think, oh, if we're not going to be the hottest band, the number one band, I'm jumping ship. It's like, dude, he would have jumped ship much earlier. He would have jumped ship back unmasked. He would have jumped ship around the Elder.
No, well, in Unmasked, though, they tried to go over into Australia and to save the sinking ship, try to explore new markets, sort of like, you know, we took all the gold out of this mine, let's go over to this mine and try to, you know, reap all the rewards from that one. That's what they were doing with Unmasked, but by the time the Elder and Creatures of the Night rolled around, there were sort of no new territories to go pilfer,
sure,
I should say.
The whole territory of no makeup.
Right, but
a whole new world that they opened up by taking the makeup off.
Well, I think you're
right,
also,
but that was a panic move.
But you're overanalyzing it, I think, personally. I mean, why is it any different for someone, whether it be Gene or whomever, to have a career of music or whatever it is, and then they find something else that they're interested in that they want to also do because it's new and exciting. Like for me, photography, that's new and exciting to me. You know, I had no interest in taking pictures.
Is that Tommy jumping ship on three sides of the coin?
No. I think it'd be Mitch would be the first one who'd do that.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I would.
Writing's on the wall for Mitch. That's been that way for episodes.
Yeah, he's already complaining, people. When he wants his own show and all that kind of stuff, so be prepared. No, I just think that it's, you know, it maybe wasn't as interesting to him, but I don't know. I mean, also, too, you have to think about it. Look at how rock and roll has changed just in the last 10 to 15 years. Even back in the 80s, there wasn't any talk of branding, and there wasn't that longevity
effect.
There
wasn't talk
effect.
About it because the consumer, us, weren't aware of it. But talk to a Coca-Cola executive or a McDonald's executive, they were well aware of what branding was in the 80s.
Yeah, but you can't use that comparison because think about it, okay? Rock and roll is sex and drugs and music. Look
but
at
that
who that's
was not
going
KISS.
To Yeah, but look at what that's going to attract to a certain degree. You have Coca-Cola, which is all business. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking about within the framework of rock and roll. I don't think that they were aware of that at the time, or any band was. Yeah, the Stones were still here and all that type of stuff was happening, but I don't think that they foresaw the future that they have now and the brand. I think a lot of it worked out, you know, just because they were in the right place and they had set themselves up, but not full well knowing that they had done that.
Right, but then let's also look in the 2000s. Between 2004 and 2009, which is Sonic Boom, again, the band was less active. There was less stuff going on. There was less touring. And that's when Gene starts, again, going out and doing Family Jewels and other projects. Again, he's like, well, looks as though KISS is not going to be what it should be. I need to go find sort of a second career.
I don't think that's him needing to go find a second career at all. That's Gene's nature. He wants to be creating. I mean, you know, I've got four different podcasts. Does that mean I'm looking for different opportunities because one isn't? No, it's because I want to explore and expand and try different things. And,
right.
you know, you've got that creative juice, that bug that says, I want to try and do a magazine. Maybe it succeeds, maybe it doesn't. I want to do a clothing line. Maybe it succeeds, maybe it doesn't. You know, I find it interesting that there seems to be some fans that feel like they can only do one thing at a time. And it's like, No, people can do more than one thing at a time. You can be Paul Stanley, and you can be a painter, and you can do both of them at the best possible abilities of, that you have. It's not like one sacrifices the other.
Right, and that's sort of the point I'm getting to, because if you listen to sort of the fan banter and you follow it online and stuff, people are highly critical of Gene having gone out and explored these other avenues. Not so critical of Paul Stanley, though. Sort of curious, though, why people haven't, you know, berated Paul for having done painting, for example.
Because he seems like he's stuck with everything. And I look, when I bought a record in the 80s from them, and I'm talking Lick It Up On, I always felt like Paul gave it everything he had. Everything that was on the record, I felt, was a genuine effort to make really good music. I felt with Gene that once the makeup came off, he was lost and was just mailing stuff in. So that, to me, that's the difference.
He showed up for the kickoff of the tour, and he was there for the tour. But he wasn't there in the studio. He wasn't there as part of the band. He was just on stage.
Yeah, it was just like when I saw Motley Crue, and I was going to ask you about this too, Mitch, because you saw them.
Right.
I felt like Tommy Lee couldn't have been more disinterested and disconnected than I've ever seen him.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's probably the same thing. You know?
Oh, yeah. And I've heard stories about that tour, about four tour buses, and nobody talks to each other. Now, I'm not there. I don't know if that's true or not.
Hey,
but
just so you know, all the way back on the reunion tour for Carnival of Sins, they each had separate tour buses all the way back then.
Okay.
Right. But it seemed to be less acrimonious. Now it seems to really be, I go my own way and we meet on stage. But again, I'm not there, so if that's wrong, I apologize, but that's what I'm told. That's what I'm told.
Yeah, you know? So that's the point, is I felt like Gene was vacant. He wasn't really there. And I think that's why he probably takes so much more heat. But, you know, I think the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that if you haven't walked a mile in someone's shoes and you don't know what it's like to be famous or be a musician, how can you ever judge what they do or don't do? You know?
Right.
I don't know.
But at the same time, using the analogy of a company going bankrupt or a company that you know is about to shutter its doors,
but I don't think that applies to Kiss. I mean, come on, they were not about to shutter their doors by the time Animal Eyes was around. They were going on the up again. Again, who cares about the music? Whether you like the music,
but Kiss, it was a very slow rise.
But it was a rise nonetheless. That's not, you know. Declining is going towards bankruptcy. Rising is not going towards bankruptcy. Rising means you've turned the ship around and things are improving.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a bad analogy to say, you know, he saw the writing on the wall.
Well, but there's a perception of when, you know, when you're at the top and you're sort of bound back down in the middle working your way up, you still have that, I'm not at the top anymore. Maybe this is not worth pursuing anymore. I mean, I'm just bringing up the top.
If you don't care about what you're doing to begin with, you jump ship. I think it's pretty clear that Gene and Paul have always cared about the band. Different levels, different degrees, but they've always looked at it as, well, we're going to turn this around and I'm going to bust my ass to get back to the top to prove everybody that they were wrong about Kiss. And that we're going to be the biggest band in the world again. And it might take us 10 years to get there.
But that sort of goes against what
you're
saying.
Sort of the fuck you, we are going to continue to prove this. I'm not jumping ship looking for greener pastures.
But if you look at it, though, it does seem to have that mark of somebody who did jump ship for greener pastures, because I think we can all agree that he wasn't busting his chops with his bass parts on Animalized, with his bass parts on Crazy Nights, with his songwriting on Hot in the Shade. I don't think there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in terms of effort going into those albums from Gene, whereas the movie career and that movie stuff, yeah, he seemed to really be working it. He seemed to be trying to get, you know, accents and haircuts, and, you know, he was...
Yeah, but, I mean, even back then, he was actually... I think if you were to make the argument that he was going out to greener pastures on the movies, he wouldn't have turned down roles as villains in James Bond.
He turned down a role in villains in James Bond? I missed that.
As a villain. Because really? He didn't want to be typecast as a villain. He plays villains so well, but he didn't want to be typecast as that. If it was somebody, I would think if you were looking to be able to jump ship and go to greener pastures, holy crap, that's a pretty fucking green pasture.
Right. And don't you find that sort of ironic, though? Let's just explore that point for a second. Isn't that the irony in the whole thing? His whole career as the demon in makeup was the bad guy, was the evil guy. And yet in the movies, I guess he wanted to be the love interest. I mean, isn't that kind of odd that he spent 15 years up until that point building this evil character, the demon?
I think it's just somebody who wants to create a challenge to prove that he can be something different than what everybody else thinks.
Mm-hmm. And you can't fault him for that. That's the thing. People are always so quick to judge other people for the things that they choose to do, and I've never understood that, because you've never walked a mile in their shoes. My only issue with this whole thing was the fact that I felt he wasn't giving me everything that he should have when it came to records and tours and all of that. That's the issue. Whether he makes movies or not, I could care less. If it looks like it's a good movie, I'll go see it. If it looks like it's going to be a piece of crap, I won't go see it. So I've seen two of his movies. I thought the two that I saw were really good, which was Runaway, which is kind of cheesy now, but I thought Wanted Dead or Alive was actually really good, and that was the one with Rutger Hauer. But I don't know. I mean, I just, like I said, and I've said this 100 times, that when the makeup came off, they lost everything. They lost their identity, and maybe some of it's boredom, maybe some of it's fear. I don't know. You know, but...
I think it's a lot of it is just him discovering, listen, I've been acting on stage for 10 years. I want to try acting off stage. I mean, he's not the first musician who's wanted to make that transition.
Nope. No.
It's discovering a new potential passion. Did he succeed or fail? I think that remains to be seen, because he sort of walked away from it himself. He wasn't kicked out because he failed.
Right.
You know, so it was his choice.
My original point that I guess I was trying to make is that a lot of fans sort of begrudge his decision to have done that. And my point tonight was sort of like, well, maybe it was the right decision. Maybe he needed to do that. You know, maybe...
Well, I think to that point, maybe... it was the right decision, because that's what got us Revenge.
Right.
Would we have gotten Revenge if he had never gone away and then gotten his ass kicked, probably by Paul, came back in with new vengeance to prove that he's back in full force with the band? If he had always been there, would Revenge have ever come about? Who knows?
Probably not. Now, that's another point, is Paul in all of this. The perception that I have, and this is just my perception, is that Paul is exceptionally unhappy with Gene's outside ventures. Is it justifiable to be angry that Gene is trying other things?
Well, I think you're talking two different time periods. Are you talking about the 80s, or are you talking about the 2000s?
Well, in the 80s, I think he might have been upset but didn't vocalize it. But with Family Jewels, and even again, you know, at that show in Verona, in front of everybody during the acoustic set, there was an exchange about Family Jewels. And it seemed as though Paul was not happy about that show, and I think it's been publicly stated that he wasn't happy about it. I mean, is Paul right to vent that frustration?
Well, I think Paul's entirely right, because it's his personal feelings about it. You know, I think he's also said, listen, it's Gene's life. I can't tell him what to do. If Gene right. wants to go out and do all these side projects, Gene can go out and do them. I don't have to like him.
Right.
I mean, you know, is that right? It's right in the sense that that's his personal feeling. That's what makes it right.
What was interesting in Verona is that a fan said, why aren't you doing any more Family Jewels? To which Gene answered, you can't do this, and he pointed to the floor, and then he goes, tour and do a show. How come it took him 7 years or seven seasons to realize that?
Listen, I think that we all know that's just marketing spiel. I mean, how many seasons of Family Jewels happened while they were touring and were filmed backstage and were mm-hmm. filmed around fictitious events on the road? I mean, listen, you go all the way back to Gene Simmons' tongue and his Dragonfly clothing line. That was all happening while they were touring.
Right.
It's all marketing. It's all marketing. You know, the show got canceled. So your options are, do you tell fans I'm not doing it because the show got canceled? Or do you say, we're not doing it because I wanted to be on the road touring with you? What sounds better?
Being on the road touring for you. But you
yeah,
know,
I don't fault them for saying that. I mean, you know, you spin everything in a positive sense.
Yeah, and you have to say the show was highly successful. The fact that it lasted seven seasons of Gene Simmons with his family in a Beverly Hills mansion. I mean, the Osbournes only lasted three seasons. Now, yeah, granted, they pulled the plug themselves on that.
I think by the time Family Jewels was in its last season, it had the mark of being the longest running celebrity reality show on television.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a feat. But
isn't it a give and take when you have a business relationship or a partnership? I'm sure it's got to be hard for Paul in the same sense that it's probably hard for Gene to be his partner, because they look at things differently. But then the fact that they look at things differently is sometimes what makes it work.
I think that's exactly what it is with these guys. I mean, you know, in 40 years, they've figured out some form of mutual respect and balance between what they each want to do, that it's like, okay, I'm going to give on this, but I'm not giving on that, and, you know, vice versa. And, you know, again, think about personal relationships. That's tough to do. A lot of times you want to just stand your ground forever, and, you know, you won't get anywhere. You yeah. will destroy a personal relationship. You'll destroy a job. You'll destroy a business, whatever it might be, if you don't figure out how to give and take a little bit.
Much like that. Never mind.
Don't say him. Don't say him. I mean, I also wanted to bring up, you mentioned, you know, why doesn't Paul get a lot of flack for his side projects? I think part of that is Paul hasn't done nearly as many side projects as Gene. So, you know, Gene, some people might look at it as like he's riddled with failures. Well, is it a failure that he actually started, launched a magazine? He started and launched a clothing line? I mean, I'm not sure you can consider that a failure. He actually got it started. He got stuff produced, distributed, sold. Why it isn't continuing, can debate that until we're blue in the face, because we don't know.
Well, it could
so
be like you mentioned
people
on a previous
look at
episode.
People look at all of that in Gene's world and go, it's just riddled with failures. Everything he started didn't succeed. Well, I'm not sure that's quite the case. As opposed to Paul, who didn't try nearly as many different things. I mean, if you use that same logic, you could say Paul failed at Phantom of the Opera. How come he's still not doing Phantom of the Opera? He must have failed. No.
Yeah.
I think he succeeded at that. He's just not doing it by his choice.
And not everything lasts forever either.
Yeah. By the way, I saw the Phantom of the Opera twice. It was fantastic. And I, you know, I'm not a theater kind of guy, but it was great.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
I'm right there with you. I saw it I don't know if it was the opening night or the second night I went up there. It was amazing at it. I mean, it's just, Paul's got a different, I think I've mentioned this in past shows, that when Paul gets involved with something, it usually means he spent some time and really feels, he really believes in it and wants to get behind it. He doesn't just jump in and kind of like, let's throw stuff against the wall, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, I'm on to the next one. He picks and chooses differently.
Well, and I get the feeling, too, like, and maybe it's not on purpose. It's just who he is as a person, I don't know. But it seems like a lot of the stuff that he picks seems to align itself more with what a lot of the fans like. Whereas Gene, it seems like a lot of his endeavors are things that just have a tendency to be big and trying to get to a mass audience. You know, it's a whole different thing. So he's looking for that next big. I know. I feel like he's always buying. Him starting businesses are like going out and buying lottery tickets. Sooner or later, he's going to hit on something else that's big. And at times, exactly. I think he didn't realize what he had. So in the 80s, it felt like a lot of the Kiss stuff was like, maybe it was over and done for him. I don't know, to a certain degree, because the makeup's off and they've lost their identity, and doesn't really realize how cool it is. So maybe it took him stepping away and doing some of these other things to be able to come back. Like you said, would we have had Revenge and subsequently get to where we are now? Because I really don't think they understood themselves back in 94, no matter how many people were screaming for a reunion, how, you know, incredibly successful it would have been, or it was. I think that they're surprised to a certain degree with their success.
Yeah, I don't think a reunion would have been successful in 84 or 80. I mean, it would have been successful, but not like it was in 96. I mean,
right,
96,
but that's
was because it was so far removed.
Totally, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in general, it's like sometimes you have to walk away from something a little bit to realize how good you have it.
Now, where do we see Gene and Paul going in the future outside of the band? Do you think Gene's going to go back to movie acting or another reality show, or is that done?
I think the interesting thing about Gene is what he might venture into is anybody's guess. I mean, look, right now he owns a high-end life insurance company for people who are multi-million billionaires that you have to have shitload of money to get into. Mm-hmm. You know, he started his own marketing company. You look at that stuff and go, what the hell is a demonic blood spitting Kiss bass player doing starting a high-end life insurance company?
Yeah,
you know, but that's sort of what's intriguing about Gene, is you don't know where he's gonna go, and he's not afraid to go out and try these things that a lot of us are gonna sit here and go, that is so out of character for a rock star.
Yeah. Well, and what we've never really talked about, or at least I forget if we have, the partnership that him and Paul have now with Rockin' Brews, I guess it's called.
Rockin' Brews, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interest. That's sort of interesting to see them go into business together on that, because, like I said just previously, Paul has often said, Gene, stay with the band. Don't do the movies. Don't do Family Jewel. Focus on us. And now together, they're doing something that's not focused on Kiss. So, was that a bit of a surprise?
No, because I don't think this is in the same vein as Family Jewels. I mean, this is not a reality series that's going to follow Gene and Paul around. It's them showing up every couple months at a grand opening somewhere and playing rock and roll all night and flying out the next night.
Do you think they're more involved in that than with the Kiss coffee shop? Because the Kiss coffee shop was supposed to be in Australia and a bit everywhere. I think we still are at just one.
Yeah.
Right? So what's the difference?
I mean, I don't know the, you know, the Kiss coffee shop was a licensed deal.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was at Signatures, seeing the drawings and the comps and, you know, still being circulated of, you know, this is what they're submitting, what they want to do. I don't know if Rockin' Brews is a licensed deal, or if it's actually a partnership that Gene formed with a couple other investors. I get the feeling, just 100% me speaking, it's more of Gene forming a partnership with a couple other investors and starting it.
And what I like about it, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mitch.
No, you first.
I was just going to say, what I like about the concept is it has nothing to do with the band. You know?
And that's why I think I agree with Mike that it's a partnership, because it's not full of Kiss makeup all over the place and Kiss logos. Mm-hmm. And the band is showing up in a different way. They're showing up just without their makeup at these openings. So it's sort of saying, this is Gene and Paul's baby. This is not a Kiss baby. I don't know. You get that impression as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're using their celebrity to get people through the door.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, it's going to be successful whether they're famous or not, if the food is good and the service is good and there's value for your dollar.
It's interesting, though, to see Gene and Paul sort of establishing themselves as a partnership outside of Kiss. Maybe, who knows, right, Mike? Maybe we'll see more of that down the road.
I mean, I think to some extent Gene and Paul have always been a partnership.
They are a partnership in Kiss, but outside
of Kiss.
But
even outside of Kiss, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that's gone on
that
both of them
have
gotten, that we just are not privy to, because it's not a retail, it's not a marketable thing. It's an investment. It's us partnering up and buying into condos in Cleveland.
And yeah, the stuff we read in the C.K. Lent book about land deals in Ohio and all that. But it's interesting. Have you been to a Rock and Brews?
Nope.
Isn't there one somewhere near you, Mike?
Not Northern California. They're all down in Southern California right now.
Oh, but you were just down in San Diego?
I don't think there was one in San Diego. I'm not that freaky of a Kiss fan that I'm going to drive from San Diego up to Los Angeles to see a Rock and Brews.
That is the point right there.
He just doesn't get it. Of course you have to drive to Los Angeles to go eat at Rock and Brews and pay $16 for a burger. That's what it's all about.
The mentalness of it overwhelms me.
Not at all is it about that.
Of course it is.
Not unless Gene wants to send a limo to pick me up to come up and eat, which ain't happening.
Mm-mm. Can't imagine that.
If there's a Rock and Brews around the corner, I will more than gladly go check it out.
Yeah, so will I. Is there any reason why?
But as Tommy said, as long as the food is good.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go there or not go there because they were involved. It would be like, okay, does it look like a good place with a great menu and good service? That's all I would care about. You know, and I don't blame them for using their celebrity, because that's part of what you do. You know, it's just like, look at all these other celebrities, too, that have their own tequila, and AC/DC's got wine coming out. And, you know.
Well, Kiss has a wine, or had a wine.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but, you know, I agree with you on why I would go there. I wouldn't just go because it's Gene and Paul's place. I mean, unless they were there that night doing an acoustic set, I wouldn't go. I mean, I was just in Syracuse and there was a Toby Keith restaurant, and I thought, okay, let's go have a look. And I saw the menu prices and I went, they're charging practically double just because of the name on the door. And I'm not even a fan. So I went and ate somewhere else. And so if I get to Rock and Brews and I see a burger is $9 rather than $4, I'm out the door. It's got
to
make sense.
That doesn't matter to me. If the burgers are really good burgers and they've gotten great reviews, I'll pay money for great food. No question
so will
about
I.
that. But I'm not going to pay $9 for an average Hard Rock Cafe
burger.
Hamburger.
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
And that's what's going to make it survive or crash, is having that right formula.
Yeah. I haven't looked much into the Rock and Brews. Do you know what the concept is there? Just for my own curiosity.
I think it is.
But is it like a Hard Rock
Cafe?
A lot of
beer selections, designer beers, and gourmet hamburgers. A number of different gourmet burgers to choose from.
But is there memorabilia everywhere? Is there like a Axe base on the wall? I mean, do we know?
I don't think so. I think, you know, the pictures I have seen, the walls are just painted with iconic, like, album covers and live photos and stuff like that. I could easily imagine it turning into getting memorabilia.
Yeah, but I hope it doesn't, though. Because then it just becomes a Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah,
right.
But If they do it in a different spin than the Hard Rock Cafe, they could succeed. What that spin is, I don't know.
Anything's possible.
Let's wrap this one up. The reason I wanted to start this topic is I just wanted to get people thinking that, you know, maybe Gene's leaving of the band to explore somewhere else wasn't just vainness or nonsense. Maybe it was sort of an employee going, hey, this company might not succeed and I might need to find something else to do.
So the homework for this episode is tell us that you agree that Mitch is completely wrong in his thought here.
Well, that's every episode.
Yeah. Listen, this wasn't a question of being right or wrong. This was a question.
No, it was completely right or wrong question.
Yeah.
You were wrong.
Yeah. No, I was just putting out a premise. I personally think he should never have left the band, but I could certainly rationalize it.
Is Mitch's premise about Gene leaving because the ship is sinking and going into bankruptcy right or wrong?
I think you could argue it.
You think?
Unmask was not very successful. The Elder was a disaster. Creatures of the Night, musically brilliant.
That's in the wrong time era. That's in the wrong era.
Right, but as they come out of that, and you take Lick It Up, and you stack it up against what was going on, Metal Health, it didn't stack up sales-wise. You know, Michael Jackson's Beat It and Thriller. All that stuff that was going on in 83, Kiss was just a little...
Don't stack it up against Thriller.
Yeah, no, you can't.
If that was the case, every band would have been jumping ship.
No, yeah, but Kiss came back with this no makeup, and it was supposed to be this big thing, and Pyromania beat him down, Metal Health beat him down.
It did revitalize him. Compared to where they were, they turned the ship around, and it was starting in an upward trajectory.
Yeah, they just were all lost. They were still lost.
No debating that.
I agree with that, but I also believe that Gene's a perfectionist, and he expects the best. And when he wasn't Pyromania, he might have said, maybe it's over. We gave it our best shot, and we only got here, and Pyromania got here, and Metal Health got here. Maybe it's time to...
I think they kept climbing up the rope a little bit more each time.
They did.
No, again, don't debate the quality of the albums. Nope. They had platinum albums during the 80s. They had
Absolutely.
Platinum albums. They didn't have platinum albums during Creatures and The Elder and Unmasked.
But they weren't like in 1978. When you talked about the hottest band in the land, the answer was Kiss. In 1987, when you talked about the hottest band in the land, it was Bon Jovi, Def Leppard,
Motley Crue. And I think Gene and Paul are smart enough to realize they could never be the number one Gallup poll band in America for 15, 20 years running.
Everything but Gene wants to be, though.
No, I don't think... Yeah, okay. I don't think he even expects that because he knows things come up, they go down. If you can last long enough, you ride it out, you come back up, and you come back down, and you come back up. And
all business is cyclical.
Yeah, right. He knows that. I think he would have failed if he expected to be at the top the entire time. And I don't think he ever expected that.
And I think most people also expand their horizons and try different things when they feel they've mastered where they're currently at. So it's also a possibility that it had very little to do with what the band was doing at the time and more to do with the length of time they've been doing it.
Okay.
You know,
locker soccer?
Do we dig into the locker? Itch. That's the name. Mitch. He may look insane. Mitch. In watch a game. Mitch.
That's a good one. I'm going to turn on my cell phone because I have a flashlight in here because I'm going to need some light for this one because it's getting dark outside. The dark light. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Hold on, let's get some light. I'm going to need some light. There we go. Ooh, look at that. All right.
The Kiss lava lamp.
I thought it was a butt plug.
I actually have one of those, and I will say it's actually very cool. I wouldn't say I'm not allowed to have it displayed out in public, but I think I'm smart enough not to try and display that in my living room.
It was in our kitchen right by the phone. I had to take it out.
Dude, you really, really, really have to take your iPhone and walk through your house and give us a video tour of your house.
I want to meet his wife. I want to meet his wife.
I got to see what this house looks like. This house probably looks like a Kiss museum.
My wife would look at that lava lamp and view it in the same kind of category as she would the leg lamp from A Christmas Story.
Right.
From it's fragile. It must be Italian.
Like I said, I think the lava lamp is very cool, and I've got one, and I love it. But I know how my wife would view it. I wouldn't even attempt to put it in the kitchen or the living room.
Or the front room.
The front room for all the neighbors to see.
See, that's where you people go wrong. You just got to put it there, and they'll learn to love it.
If I did that, I wouldn't get to put it there ever again.
But come on, the lava lamp. I'll sell it because...
You didn't hear that comment.
Nah. I'll sell it if anybody wants to buy it. I don't know how I'd ship it to you, though. How do you ship a big tank of water without breaking it? Anyway. Nah, come on.
Very fragile.
It is. I'm sure if I went to FedEx... I went to FedEx and paid them $100 and stuck it in a special box, they could get it to you, but there you go.
If I remember correctly, under the top, it's just a bottle cap on a glass.
You got it. Mm-hmm. Do, 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 do. With actual lava.
Kiss, from Kiss blood?
Yeah, it's maybe? Gene Simmons blood. Hold on.
Coagulate.
I have to go to my cell phone here to get a flashlight. Look at that Kiss blood. Did that show up at all? No?
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't have this plugged in and warmed up and bubbling for us.
Yeah.
The reason it's not plugged in is because I don't have a light bulb in it right now. My kids used to like to turn it on and let it bubble all night, and I think the bulb blew out and I just didn't buy another one. Because they don't sell Kiss light bulbs.
Yet.
As soon as they do, it's going right in the lava lamp. Yeah.
Now, that's the first generation lava lamp.
Shocked
me!
I
do think they released a second round of lava lamps.
Did they?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I might be mistaken, but I thought there was a set of four in different colors that was released a few years later. Smaller... They were smaller than the one you've got.
Solar album colors. No. I didn't even know
Mitch's
it existed.
QVC.
Kiss
it was lava
lamp. It was a Spencer's product. You could buy.
Yeah, you know
Spencer's.
The problem was there was a Spencer in Messina, New York that I used to buy a lot of this crap at, and they went bankrupt and belly up right, I think, after the reunion tour, and all this stuff was unattainable for me.
For a number of years, Spencer's. Every Christmas season would come out with a whole line of new exclusive merchandise. I mean, that's where you could get the
teddy bears,
desk lamp, and the Kiss diningware sets, and all.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope.
And I still haven't revealed what's in this thing.
Okay.
Next week.
Well, no, I thought you said that last week, and now here we are.
But I got the lava lamp instead.
Okay, keep them guessing. That should be also homework. What's in Mitch's
What's
red
in
ball?
Mitch's red ball?
It is Kiss related. Yeah.
Is the red ball actually part of the product, or is the product...
No.
You put the product inside this red ball.
Yes.
To sneak it into concerts.
So I wouldn't lose it. That's right.
They're like, damn, you got a big ball.
Hence the Vaseline.
The red ball actually contained a black Spider-Man Marvel thing that my son bought.
Before we go to the seats, I gotta get into the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back.
I gotta squeeze this ball out.
I actually, you know, at the Ottawa show, I actually
That's what you do during the solos, huh?
Yeah. In Ottawa, I actually went to pee.
Mitch's ball drop.
Mitch is dropping his ball while Tommy's shooting off a rocket.
Now, Kiss would be very proud of me in Verona. During the solos, I went out and bought a $40 t-shirt, so they would be very, very happy.
Why did you do that? Couldn't you get it online?
Yeah, but I went to the other two shows and I came home and I went, ugh, I should have bought a t-shirt. I also got some hot dogs and some popcorn because my daughter was hungry. But, you know, that solo was very, very, what was I going to say? It was good business sense for them. The venue made money. Kiss made money. So please, play on. Drum for 6 hours.
Because eventually Mitch will go spend some money the longer you solo.
I'd rather spend $40 on a t-shirt than sit through solos. I go to shows to hear songs. Songs.
I wouldn't even
give me who want. Give me Who Wants to Be Lonely. Give me Tears Are Falling. Give me Come On and Love Me. Don't go.
Give me your $40, Mitch.
No. Because you won't give me one of these in return.
Where does he find this crap?
Spencer's.
I didn't even know this place.
He takes these vacations.
Oh, no. F-Y-E.
Vacations to the United States where he all of a sudden finds Kiss product.
That's actually what I do, quite frankly. I stopped by all the FYEs and Hot Topics and stuff on my last trip looking for Kiss crap. And you know what? It was bloody hard to find.
Because you bought it all.
We're between product cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait until Christmas starts approaching and the new shit will show up.
Christmas? More Kiss stuff? Yeah, I gotta bring you down to my Kiss shower curtain. That is awesome. And your wives wouldn't let you do that either. Suckers.
No, because I actually have a shower that does not require a curtain.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I'd say
called the rain. He showers in the backyard.
It's called high-end glass doors.
Glass doors?
Not living in a trailer.
It's not living at the Holiday Inn.
God.
And why would you want one of those? I don't get it.
Because it's a Kiss your curtain.
So here's a question. You've got a shower curtain that's got a front and a back. One side you're seeing the front of the band. Do you see the back side of the band on the other side?
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
The answer is I don't see it because we have a shower liner.
I gotta love your reaction there, Tommy.
We got a liner.
And do you keep Vaseline in the shower?
No, but a lot of shampoo bottles. Same thing. Sometimes it stings. But it's a destroyer shower curtain. Who doesn't want that? I would like a Dynasty shower curtain. You're not Kiss fans. I mean, no wonder people prefer me, because I'm the only Kiss fan here. Yeah. You know it's true.
They prefer you because you make them laugh.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, okay. God, I'm glad I'm not like Mitch. We Kiss love him, but I'm glad I am not seen like Mitch.
Senile.
Kiss Nile.
There you go.
I don't know what to say. I really don't know. I'm always shocked.
Just wait till I show you my fridge door magnet. Oh, yeah.
That's the whole point of this segment, Tommy, to be shocked.
I was going to show you one, but I pick the lava lamp instead.
Well, if there's going to be another episode, you can do that then.
I'm going to start selling this stuff, quite frankly.
Maybe do we
start making me offers?
Some point in the future, have an entire show of Kiss shockers from Mitch's locker.
We can.
That's a lot of work. And what am I going to do in the next episodes?
Well, you should have enough Kiss shit to last a lifetime there.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Kiss QVC with Mitch. That's what it's gonna be. I'm gonna start selling this crap. The only thing that's not going anywhere is this handy dandy $1,500 live 2000 CD case that I showed you once.
CD case of Rock and Roll All Night 120 different times.
It's not all the same because sometimes it was, hey Toledo, it's Rock and Roll All Night, and. And then it's, hey, Chicago. I'm not the same. Oh, can I tell you one funny story about that, though?
Please.
In Verona. Yeah. This was great. In Verona, Paul goes, at the end of the show, he goes, there are 5 words that mean rock and roll. And they are. And the guy right behind me shouts out, Ace Frehley and Peter Criss. My words. It was perfect. Oh, it was right.
That's funny.
It was right on the money. You know, Paul did his rap, and the guy goes, "There's five words: like, Ace Frehley and Peter Chris."
Oh God, I wish he could have heard that.
Probably did. It was such a short venue that I'm sure he did. That's how
and
I got.
He heard it and saw Mitch's face.
Yeah. Another thing you're blamed for.
I telling you, one of the guitar picks that I got, he looked at me, and I swear to God, he recognized me because I had just seen him, at, you know, and he just said that thing about the tribute CD, and he flicked it right at me. I swear to God.
Was he trying to knock you out or actually give you a pick?
His hope was to take an eye out.
Yeah.
Probably. Just curious if they've listened to it yet. Oh, well.
I don't know. You're going to have to get backstage again and ask.
People
all
seem
right,
to
so
like
we,
it.
We've got actually, I think, two homework questions here. Is Mitch's premise about Gene Simmons wrong? And do you want to see an entire episode of Kiss Shockers from Mitch's locker?
Mm-hmm. But also, too, don't just say, yes, it's wrong. Explain why it's wrong.
Why?
Yeah. In detail.
Now, keep in mind, it was a premise. It wasn't necessarily my heartfelt emotions, but it could make sense.
No.
If I see my job is about to disappear, I'll start looking somewhere else.
Well, because you do that so often.
I haven't changed jobs in 26 years or whatever the hell it is.
Oh. So if Mitch starts showing up on other podcasts, you'll know what that means.
I'm a special guest. A very special guest.
Greener pastures.
Greener pastures. No, no, just wait till I do my own Three Sides of the Coin solo show. That's when you know things are in trouble.
Tommy and I are not worried.
Shaka!
Permitted Laka!
What other good stuff do I keep by my...
isn't this episode over?
Yeah, I think it's over.
About 10 minutes ago it was. Yeah. It's amazing how we do these shows that we just think suck.
People like
and
it.
The fans love them.
Well, and also, too, someone was saying a week or so ago, I can't, you know, your attitude or your reaction to Mitch is kind of like overwhelming in a way. And it's like, really, if you sat in this chair, what would you do? I mean, look at what's going on.
You would be a lot nicer to the star. Let me tell you that.
We are not scripting this. We are not telling him to do this. This is just shit that just comes out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happens when he's got Vaseline all over his mouth. It just falls out.
I'm entertaining. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I can show you. Nope, that's about it. Don't
Please
forget
God.
To pick up the Classic Rock with the Kiss interview.
Really good interview.
Yeah, I got nothing else in my reach right now. Damn it.
Well, on that cue, let's get out of here before he finds some. Damn it.
God.
It's raining Kiss. Hallelujah. It's raining Kiss.
If I was Gene and Paul and watching this, I actually would be embarrassed.
Meh. Come on.
This is the guy that represents us to Kiss fans.
At least I'm not wearing sequins and dancing in front of a volcano. No, 'tis a fallen volcano. What the fuck was a volcano doing in that? Anyway.
Doesn't matter.
It's an homage to Peter Brady. When he built the volcano.
And who the hell wrote the song, We're Gonna All Night? What?
Like that?
They can't be embarrassed by anything.
Like that's an insulting lyric from Kiss?
Not insulting.
Christine 16?
Yeah, that one's kind of weird. Oh, they did Christine 16 in Verona. Bum, 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 bum. The acoustic thing.
I like that song.
I do too.
A little scary when you think about the guy singing it talking about picking up a 16-year-old, but
yeah, no worse than hearing Winger do "She's Only 17" and the guy's 52 now. So,
no, she's 42 now.
Yeah, she's only 42.
That album came out 25 years ago this week.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, I am not up on my Winger, though. Red Beach and Whitesnake is bloody fucking brilliant. That's another story for another podcast. Join us on the Winger Podcast.
Yeah, you got your two homeworks. Answer those questions. ThreeSidesOfTheCoin.com, Facebook.com/ThreeSidesOfTheCoin. Head over to iTunes. God, there's just a way I can block him out without.
I took this from the Holiday Inn. Look at the name, Heavenly Soft.
How do I? How? There's got to be a button I can click that.
It's off. It's the off button. It's the off button. You should have stopped this a while ago. Yeah, here we sit.
Control command.
I don't want to completely hang up on him. I just want to. Well, so should we mute? I want to mute him.
Should we say something to the three people that are still watching?
See, the problem is I don't control that mute. He can come back on and start talking at any moment. I need to have control over Mitch's mouth. So, leave your comments, head over to iTunes, leave a review, rate us. We apologize if this does upset you, but it is what it is. This is what we do. Buy a t-shirt. I forgot to say that in the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Buy a t-shirt.
Buy Tommy.
Shop. Shut up. Shop.threesidesofthecoin.com. That's what we want.
Now you can't see me.
That's what we want.
Huh? Buy now you're going to kiss me.
Take a picture of yourself with that t-shirt. Send it to us. We're posting all the photos we get from fans. Love it. It's very cool.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
And on that note, God damn. Scares me when he does disappear because I don't know what's going to show up when he turns his camera back on.
No.
Remember to pick up the brand new album, Kiss Monster.
Hey, no, don't give them any free advertising.
Oh. All right.
They pay.
I paid.
Yeah, but Tommy and I didn't get any money out of that deal.
Yeah. I got three pictures.
Yeah. That's it. Let's go.
Thank you.
Or he does something else really stupid.
No.
Till next week, guys. Thank you.
Sorry.
And if I need to apologize, I am sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
Tears are falling. Oh.